The Beatitudes. When I was coming along, we were encouraged to memorize the Beatitudes. Was anybody else told you needed to do that? Oh, come on. Okay, we got a few little halfway. Come on, raise your hand. Come on. You can do it. All right, thank you. This is an interactive sermon, as are most of mine. This way I know you're paying attention and not snoring and bothering your neighbor. So, I wasn't good at memorizing the Beatitudes, and under severe threat from my grandmother, the righteous, I was told, you will memorize the Beatitudes, or else. Soon thereafter, I began calling them the Beatitudes. Most of my faith was drilled into me by harsh consequences, which makes me wonder why I went into the ministry to begin with, except maybe to get back at people. The Beatitudes really reflect to us the mind of God and the heart of Jesus. These are not commandments to follow. Rather, these are the evidence of life well lived in faith. These are not things we should strive for. These are the natural outpourings of God's Spirit upon each of us, sometimes when we least expect it. Got to put my glasses back on to see him because I, after all these years, I don't have them memorized anymore. I'm sorry, Grandmother. But for the sake of accuracy, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, the first thing I want to notice here is the present tense of the verb to be. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You don't have to wait on it. It is already there. The poor in spirit are the ones who need to have that resource in their hearts and in their souls, because the poor in spirit have been beaten down by life. And that's all of us. One of the things I want you to notice in the Beatitudes this morning is that these don't talk to an individual person. These talk to every single one of us, because we have all been poor in spirit. You can think back on a time when life seemed dark, dismal, and the love of God seemed distant. You can remember a time like that. And if you can't, let me suggest that you have had a blessedly superficial life. We've all been there, the poor in spirit. And what you need to know is that the kingdom of God is already with you. The resources are there. They abound in the Spirit of God is flowing into you whether you need it or know it or not. It's kind of like this person I knew. She was called the Wizard of Wall Street. I didn't know her, but I heard the story. She made tons of money back in the 30s or maybe the 40s. Made money hand over fist with her investments. But she was afraid to ever spend a penny of it. She wore old newspapers as her undergarments. She lived on two or three pieces of coal a day to heat her apartment. When her son broke his leg, she would not take him to the hospital because the price of setting his leg would be too high. He walked with a limp thereafter. Here is this multimillionaire with all these resources, but she's living as one who is poor in spirit, one who is poor in resources. And I see those folk all the time. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because you have resources beyond your imagining right now. Live out of that. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There's not a might be there. There's not a conditional. It's a will be comforted. If you have not known sorrow and loss in your life, well, you haven't really had the fullest experience and the depths of compassion that come along with it. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted, not just by those round about them, but by the Holy Spirit of God. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meekness in the language of Jesus does not mean Casper milk toast. It refers rather to a war horse who is under control. Great power, great strength, yet governed by principles, by belief, by love, by compassion. The meek who inherit the earth are those who are able to live a life of principle and compassion. Not just those who live life in the shadows because they are afraid. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If you watch the TV and you see the news, and you feel no compassion, then I pity you. I really do. When the beating of Tyree was shown, I forced myself to watch it, knowing full well that I would be disturbed, I would be angry, I would be disappointed and frustrated, but I knew I had to see that because justice in America requires that we confront the unpleasant things of life. And part of my hungering and thirsting for righteousness is that I have to face the ugly realities. But Jesus here says, it's okay. That does not have the last word. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness means we have it within us to strive for something better. And we will find that day, that time. That is a promise from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Part of the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, depends upon this transaction of mercy between God's children. None of us have lived a private life. None of us have lived outside of community like a hermit. If we live in community with each other, we're gonna hurt each other. That's just the way life is. But we also live in response to each other, in community with each other, and we need to recognize each other's faults as we recognize our own. There was a, did anybody here ever read that book years ago? Transactional Analysis for Tots, TA for Tots. Any teachers here that went? Oh, come on, somebody had to. You had two types of people. You had warm fuzzies, and you had cold pricklies. Anybody remember that? Okay, then I'm going to learn you on it. There are two types of people. There are warm fuzzies and there are cold pricklies. And guess what? We've all been both at times in our lives. We affirm our warm fuzzies. We correct our cold pricklies. And we learn to live in community with each other. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This does not mean perfect, by the way. This means those who have a longing in their hearts to see God somehow through the mist of humanity, through the agonies of war, those who continue to look for the divine in the world in which we live, knowing it's there somewhere. The pure in heart are not the perfect. They are us. Pure in heart is not something to strive for. It's not an achievement of the spirit. Rather, it is a condition and a predisposition of our soul. And I would dare to say, if you've lived on this earth longer than 15 or 20 years, and I believe that's pretty much everybody in here, you know what it is to be pure in heart, to hope, to look, to hunger. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. I have the bad fortune of being a peacemaker. In my family, Mackenzies are not known to be a peaceable lot. Even back in Scotland, we were always at war with somebody or other. I am conflict averse. I try to find ways to help people live together in at least a modicum of peace. It is my calling to do that, to hope for that. And I don't do it so that I can be called a child of God. I've already got that. We're all children of God. But those who go out of their way to establish peace in a war-torn world, and not just physical war, I'm talking about emotional war, expectational war. I'm talking about societal war. Those who try to find a way to get people to live together, they are the children of God. Somebody once asked Gandhi, they said, "What do you think of Western civilization?" And Gandhi replied, "I think it would be a good idea." They also asked Gandhi, "What is the major obstacle to Christianity in India?" And he replied, "Christians." We need to be peacemakers. We need to find a way to bring peace to our world. And finally, blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's that present tense again, right here at the eighth one. The present tense, it is the kingdom of God that is present. What this tells us is there are no guarantees of a peaceful passage in life. We know there are going to be difficult times. Every day with Jesus is not more sweet than the day before. I don't know who came up with that song, but I never really cared for it much because I've never found it to be true. Every day with Jesus is rather an adventure. And some days the paths are dark and cold, and some days you're on the mountaintop. And every day with Jesus can be a challenge, but by the power of Jesus, it can be met. not always overcome, but always met. And guess what? When you meet a challenge and you live in a community of faith and life and mercy and hope and grace, you may not win, but you can indeed meet the challenge. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Not will be, could be, should be. It is right now. Live out of those resources. And finally, Jesus says, blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you on my account. Blessed, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Well, do we suffer anymore for the cause of Christ? I would submit to you that in the year of grace 2023, those of us who are Christians don't have to suffer as much as we did in the first, second, and third century. Not from persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, but we do have to struggle. We do have to struggle with our own affluence. We do have to struggle with our own sense of pride that we are Christians, and more importantly, that we are Presbyterians. It was one of our great Christian educators who once said, as she was beginning her tenure as moderator of the General Assembly, I am sinfully proud of being a Presbyterian. And everybody said, amen. But as we said that, we also acknowledged it's easy to be a Presbyterian these days. Well, maybe not easy. 12% of the American public think Presbyterians are a cult. I'm not kidding. I had a radio show. Well, it wasn't a radio show. My service at Westminster was on the radio, but it was 1 week delayed. And following Easter, the Easter service was played a week later, and somebody called into the show and said, them Presbyterians, do they worship Easter on a different day from the rest of us? Are they like those Greek Orthodoxers? Well, God bless us, every single one. It's easy to be a Christian this day. And maybe that's why the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't speak up any more than we do. Maybe the day will come when the Church of Jesus Christ once again finds her prophetic voice and moves beyond the politics of the day to the proclamation of the gospel and the call of the Lord Jesus for us to be his voice. I'm getting kind of long of tooth and long of time, I see. But I hope the day comes. I've been hoping for it for a long time. I've been in this business, if you count my time as a Baptist youth pastor, for over 50 years. And I still have the temerity to hope. The beatitudes that my grandmother got me to call them, the beatitudes, which really means blessed. I want you to change that word from blessed to fortunate. We are fortunate to live our lives in such a faith and with such a company that we can all rejoice in the blessedness we have, and perhaps more importantly, the blessedness we can be to a hurting world. Let us pray. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we hear your word. We know our place. We have been in each one of these circumstances, and you have been there with us. Help us to live as those who are indeed fortunate, and fill us with your Spirit, that we may share that fortune with all your world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.